I'm Nora Flaherty, and this is Maine Things Considered on MPBN Radio. On the program tonight, a lawsuit against the state that argues Maine is violating its own constitution by not covering abortions for low-income women who qualify for Maine care. And the legislature gears up to work on Maine's trashy excesses. We'll have all those stories ahead. First, this news. The Maine Center for Disease Control and Prevention says a Maine resident has died of eastern equine encephalitis. It's Maine's first death from Triple E. The person has not been identified, but was from York County. The agency says he or she was 65 or older.
Eastern equine encephalitis generally has more severe consequences in young people under the age of 15 or individuals over the age of 60. Those are probably the populations that are most at risk for serious infection.
That's state epidemiologist Siri Bennett. She says the sickened individual was hospitalized with encephalitis in New Hampshire in late September and died October 17th. The Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention confirmed the presence of the disease. Bennett says right now there's no risk of Triple E in Maine because there are no active mosquitoes. A judge has cleared the way for a New Hampshire woman with late-stage lung cancer to buy medical marijuana in Maine before any dispensaries are opened in New Hampshire. New Hampshire didn't plan to issue identification cards to medical marijuana users until the dispensaries open next year, but Linda Horan says she may be dead before then. The retired telephone worker sued the state this month. State officials argued issuing her an identification card now would undermine New Hampshire's need to control distribution, but today a judge granted Horan's request and ordered the state to process her application and issue the card if it's approved. In his ruling, Judge Richard McNamara says Horan would suffer irreparable harm if relief was not granted. And the Maine Principals Association has awarded MPBN the television broadcast and streaming rights to the Boys and Girls State Finals basketball games in February of 2016. MPBN will broadcast coverage of the 10 final games, which include AA, A, B, C, and D-class schools. State cheerleading finals will also be broadcast statewide. Dick DeRost of the Maine Principals Association says he's pleased to continue the tradition and partnership first established between the MPA and MPBN in 1979. To celebrate the 38th anniversary, MPBN will rebroadcast the Friday and Saturday championship games in their entirety on Sunday. The playoffs will include games in Portland, Augusta, and Bangor. MPBN will announce its coverage schedule in early February. In weather tonight, clear skies, lows in the teens, and maybe even the single digits in the mountains. And tomorrow, filtered sun in the north and west, sunny in the rest of the state. The American Civil Liberties Union of Maine has filed a lawsuit against the State Department of Health and Human Services over abortion coverage for women who are eligible for Maine care. The suit contends that the state's failure to pay for abortions for low-income women, except in extreme circumstances, violates the Maine Constitution. Patty White has details.
It takes Zach Hyden just a couple minutes to walk from his office at the ACLU of Maine to the Cumberland County Superior Courthouse in Portland to file the lawsuit. But the suit itself, he says, has been a long time coming.
Either 10 months or 10 years, depending on how you count.
Hyden says low-income women haven't had equal access to abortions ever since the enactment of the Hyde Amendment in 1977. It bars the use of federal funds to pay for abortions, except when a woman's life is threatened or if the pregnancy is a result of rape or incest. That means women who are eligible for Maine care, the state version of Medicaid, have limited abortion coverage. And Hyden says that violates their rights under the Maine Constitution, as well as a law that stipulates the state will not interfere with women's reproductive decisions.
Maine care currently covers the full range of prenatal and pregnancy-related care if women choose to continue with the pregnancy, but doesn't cover abortions if a woman decides that she doesn't want to continue with the pregnancy. We think that's coercive.
The lawsuit is on behalf of three healthcare providers: Maine Family Planning, the Mabel Wadsworth Women's Health Center, and Planned Parenthood of Northern New England, where Nicole Clegg is vice president of public policy.
Abortion rates are a historic low. They're the lowest they've been since abortion's been legal, except for low-income women.
Where the reverse is happening, according to the nonprofit advocacy organization Guttmacher Institute. A 2011 study found that unintended pregnancy and abortion rates for poor women were five times those of higher-income women. Kate Brogan of Maine Family Planning says an abortion costs about $500.
You know, with the economy the way it is, we've seen more families struggling, and we've seen more people coming to us who are facing this dilemma of trying to find the coverage, trying to find the money to pay for it when they have MaineCare, and MaineCare should be covering it. And it's just not fair.
And there are additional economic barriers, says Andrea Irwin of the Mabel Wadsworth Women's Health Center in Bangor.
Where we are in Bangor, we see women from all over northern and eastern Maine. So women might have to travel hundreds of miles away, and so they have to look at transportation costs.
The lawsuit comes at a time when Irwin says abortion providers have been under heightened scrutiny.
Given all the recent attacks on women's health care providers, we're really determined to take a stand and move forward in a direction that is bringing more access to care for women that we represent.
There is precedent for states to provide funding for abortions. 17 states currently provide funding, 13 of which are the result of a court order. But Adrian Bennett, spokeswoman for Maine Governor Paula Page, points out that a majority of states do not cover abortions with their Medicaid programs. In a written statement, Bennett called the lawsuit a frivolous public relations stunt. The National ACLU and the Planned Parenthood Federation of America are supporting the lawsuit. Zach Hyden of the ACLU of Maine says he hopes to see a resolution within a year. For MPBN News, I'm Patty White.
This is Maine Things Considered. Studies indicate that every person in Maine generates at least 4 pounds of trash a day. That adds up to millions of pounds that need to be disposed of somehow every single year. Now the legislature is gearing up to take a second look at how the state can do a better job at managing its waste and increasing its recycling rate. Mal Leary reports.
Maine has not looked at its solid waste laws for 15 years. Senator Tom Saviello, a Republican from Wilton, says it's time.
We set some recycling goals in those, and we aren't coming close to meeting those goals. So as a result of that, we have to look at why and what can we do to help them.
Saviello serves as co-chair of the legislature's Environment and Natural Resources Committee, which earlier this year enlisted the help of the Mitchell Center at the University of Maine to look at how other states and municipalities have improved their recycling rates. Maine's goal of reaching 50% by last year fell short and is now estimated to be at about 35%. The Mitchell Center Travis Blackmer says some communities are adopting increased disposal fees and the banning of certain packaging.
You know, we have things like the polystyrene foam ban in Portland, polyethylene bags in Westport, Connecticut, York recently, York, Maine, California as well, and then things like single-serve PET bottles being banned in Concord, Massachusetts.
The panel is also looking at updating laws governing trash to energy generation, in which wood, paper, and other combustibles are taken from the waste stream and burned to generate electricity. Saviello expects the final package to be controversial.
This bill is the kitchen sink. It's got everything in it. Some things people aren't going to like. For example, we already know the ag people don't like the fact we're going to add apple cider and blueberry juice into this thing.
Meaning they won't like the idea of adding the containers for those products to the list of returnables and assessing a deposit. But committee members say the clock is ticking and the state could run out of licensed landfill space in 15 years. That's why they're planning to take up the proposal in the next session that starts in January. For MPBN News, I'm Mal Leary.
And finally today, Mainers love the outdoors. Many of us grew up in camping, fishing, and hunting families and have maintained a lifelong connection to those traditions. But for some combat veterans who've experienced serious mental and physical disabilities, it's much more difficult to enjoy the recreational activities that have been such an important part of their lives. As Jennifer Mitchell reports, one registered Maine guide is making it his life's mission to see that all veterans, regardless of disability, can enjoy the Maine woods.
Rip Thibodeau spent his childhood exploring the outdoors.
When I was a kid, we'd take off Friday night, wouldn't come home until Sunday afternoon. That was back in the good old days.
Now in his 70s, Thibodeau has not been able to hunt or fish or hike for years. He can only walk short distances with the help of metal crutches clamped around his arms, a consequence, he says, of nerve damage sustained from exposure to the defoliant Agent Orange during his three-year stint in Vietnam from 1969 to 1971. But on this brisk autumn day in western Maine, Thibodeau is zipping over rocks and roots and fallen leaves, trying for the first time an off-road wheelchair at Pine Grove Lodge in Pleasant Ridge Plantation, Somerset County. Registered Maine master guide Bob Howe is showing him all the bells and whistles.
Forward, backwards,
yeah.
Left, right.
Oh, yeah. I like this.
Pretty neat, huh?
So it's like a little tractor, kind of.
Like a little tractor type of thing. Go ahead and take it right out back.
The chair is called an action track chair, and as the name implies, features two spinning, rotating gripper tracks in place of wheels. Bob Howe and his wife Andrea maintain a small fleet of them at their nonprofit Pine Grove program for veterans. Using these special chairs, the Howes can reconnect veterans like Thibodeau with the great outdoors.
So has it been a while since you've been able to really get out and into the woods, into the rough?
10 years. Been a long time. Been a long time. And you miss it. You know, people say you don't, but you do. You miss it.
While the chairs are new, the veterans' trips are not. Howe started organizing outdoor adventures for vets and first responders 40 years ago at the age of 18 when he was faced with the difficult decision of whether or not to join the military. It was 1974, the Vietnam conflict was in its waning years, and the draft had ended the year before. But many Americans felt angry and demoralized over the war. Howe says nobody thought that joining up was a good idea.
And everybody said, don't you join, because these people do not respect for anything that you did, that we did over there. I said, really? And they said, yeah, don't do it, Bob. They spit on you. They holler at you. So I didn't join.
But Hal says it troubled him to know that so many had lost lives and limbs fighting overseas when he had not. And the chilly reception returning soldiers were getting from their communities bothered him even more. That's when he decided that what he had to offer veterans was the peace of the Maine woods.
That's how you heal people, is taking them into... back to nature, back to God.
I was in Fubai, Chulai, Kaesong, but I was in...
Across the field on the weedy banks of the Pine Grove Trout Pond, Rip Thibodeau and another veteran, Dave Heward, are sitting side by side in their track chairs, comparing service and casting their lures into a pond teeming with rainbow trout.
I was in Da Nang during Tet Offensive.
That's where I was. Da Nang?
Yeah, Da Nang. Rocket City.
Nobody's catching much of anything but weeds, but they don't seem to mind. It's a day out. Heward's mobility has been seriously hampered by Parkinson's disease. Like Thibodeau, he's living with post-traumatic stress disorder and seeks solace far from the madding crowd. But Heward says it's hard to go fishing when you're confined to a wheelchair.
I have to go to where there's a dock. So there's only like 3 or 4 spots I can go. What this does for me, it calms me right down, because my anxiety is way up.
Heward says he looked into buying one of the track chairs himself so he wouldn't feel so confined at home. But with a price tag of not much less than that of a small car, he says there aren't a lot of veterans anywhere who would be able to afford one. And that is where Pine Grove comes in. The Howes say the nonprofit currently pays for all its activities through its snowshoe-making business, as well as funds from private guests who book Bob Howe's guide service and some charitable donations. Andrea Howe says the eventual goal is to run the lodge as a full-time, no-cost retreat for veterans and first responders. But that dream, she admits, is several years and several $100,000 away. In the meantime, Bob Howe says he'll see to it that any veteran in the country, regardless of ability or disability, can go hunting and fishing in Maine for free.
Look how calm you are right now. You know why?
Why?
Because you fish all
the time. Oh, yeah.
For NPBN News, I'm Jennifer Mitchell.
And at 14 minutes before 6 o'clock, let's check in on the weather. Tonight, we'll have clear skies, very chilly, though, with lows in the teens and maybe even the single digits in the mountains. Tomorrow, filtered sun in the north and west, sunny in the rest of the state with highs in the low 30s to mid-40s north to south. On Thursday, which is Thanksgiving, limited sun statewide with highs in the low 40s to mid-50s north to south, a little bit cooler along the coast. And that's Maine Things Considered for today. Thanks to Erwin Gratz, Ed Morin, Barbara Caridi, and Keith Shortall. I'm Nora Flaherty.